would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I would like to read the first six verses and then verses 12 through 18. Please follow in your Bibles. I always feel like that you get more out of the Word of God if you not only hear the Word of God being read, but if you look at the Word of God and listen carefully to the reading of God's Word. And again, I encourage all of you to be praying that God will teach us and instruct us and fill us with His Spirit as we've come together to try to study His Holy Word as well as worship Him. Before we begin to try to study, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. We're so thankful, Lord, that You have been so good to us all the days of our lives. We know that we cannot begin to count all the blessings that we have and all the things that You have done for us in days gone by, the things You're doing for us right now in our lives, and the things that You shall do in the future. Lord, we thank You above everything else. We thank You for sending Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We thank You, Jesus, for coming into this world. We're thankful that though You were rich and You dwelt with the Father in the eternal heaven, we're thankful that You were willing to come down into this earth, that You were willing to be born of a virgin and live in a very poor environment. We're thankful that You were willing to withstand and defeat Satan in every way during Your life here on this earth. We're thankful that though You were tempted in many different ways and in every way that we've ever been tempted, we're thankful that You never yielded to any of those temptations. And then we're thankful that You went to the cross of Calvary, that You were willing to suffer the shame and reproach and ridicule, the physical pain, and even the death of the cross. And then You were buried, and then You rose again. Lord, we thank You for the great truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us that even as He rose from the grave, that our bodies also are going to be raised from the dust of the earth. We thank You now for this day. We thank You for the beauty of it. We thank You for every person that's here today, and we pray that You would bless each individual and each family. You know the needs of them and all of the others of Your people, all of those on our prayer list, and those who stand in special need of Thy help. Pray that You would bless all of Your children the world over. And we pray that You would help us all to remember the brevity of life, that we're only going to be here a little while. So help us to live each day as if it's our last. We ask You to help us to live close to You and close one to another. Thank You again for our family. We thank You for not only our natural family, but for the family of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for the household of faith to which we belong. We thank You that You have establish Thy church in the earth, and You've given us the privilege to be a part of Thy church. And we pray now that You would bless us in this hour, that we would hear the Word of God and rejoice in it. Guide and direct our footsteps. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart and all the decisions that we make, may they honor and glorify Thee in every way. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." And he goes on and names others that saw Jesus. Come down now for the sake of time, come down to verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" I want to pause right here and say that I am amazed as I hear statistics and hear different polls that are taken. I'm amazed at the number of so-called Christians that do not believe in the bodily resurrection. There are many that do not believe that Jesus himself rose from the dead. They believe that there was a spiritual resurrection, but not that his body was raised from the dead. And there are many others that believe that there is going to be a spiritual resurrection, but not a resurrection of the body. I read a poll just this morning on the internet that said that only 36% of Americans believe in the bodily resurrection. Now, that's a rapid decline in the past few years of the number of so-called church-going people that believe in the resurrection of the body. There are many people today who deny and doubt the resurrection of the body. That was true in the days of Christ here. And he says, Paul says, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? It is ridiculous, brethren, to claim to be a Christian. It's ridiculous to claim to believe the Bible is the Word of God and then claim to not believe in the bodily resurrection. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. His body was raised from the dead. And one day all of those that are in Christ Jesus, their bodies also shall be raised from the dead. So he says, there are some that say that there is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 13 says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Let me say this. If you ever doubt any part of the Word of God, you will eventually doubt all the Word of God. If you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you might as well stop believing any other part of the Word of God, because eventually you will stop believing the rest of God's Word. If you don't believe that a whale, a fish prepared by God, if you don't believe that a whale swallowed Jonah, you will eventually doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason I can emphatically say that is that Jesus said, he coupled together Jonah being in the whale's belly and him being 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. Jesus says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, even so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. If there is no Jonah in the whale's belly, there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in the creation of this world as it's described in Genesis chapter 1, if you believe in evolution or any other kind of theory that differs with the creation as described in Genesis chapter 1, you will eventually doubt any other portion of God's Word. All of God's Word is true. The Bible is not the writings of men. It is the Word of God. And the Word of God declares that Jesus Christ, there are three things that he says in the first few verses. He says that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now, brethren, I have complete peace in my soul about being in heaven one day because Christ died for my sins. I'm not going to be in heaven one day because of my good works. I'm not going to be in the eternal heaven because I remain faithful to God or because I did anything. It's not me believing. It's not me obeying. It's not me doing anything that will get me in the eternal heaven. It's what Jesus has done for me. Jesus died for my sins and for your sins and for the sins of all the people of God. Christ died for our sins. Paul begins this chapter by saying, I have preached to you the gospel. And then he identifies three parts of the gospel. And let me tell you this, there are a lot of different ways that the Bible talks about the gospel. For example, the Bible talks about the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Let me pause right here. What does the word gospel mean? The word gospel simply means good news. And the Bible talks about the gospel of God. Now that's a broad and a general statement, but it's the good news about God. And then the Bible talks about the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That's the good news specifically about the kingdom of heaven. The Bible talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that is a more limited, if you look specifically at what the Bible is talking about, that is more limited than the gospel of God. The gospel of God covers everything about God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is talking specifically about the good news concerning Jesus Christ. The gospel now that Paul says, I want you to notice, let me ask you this question before I go any further. Can you be saved by the gospel? Can you be saved by the gospel? Well, let me tell you something. You're not saved eternally by the gospel. There are many people that have never heard the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that will be in the eternal heaven. The belief and obedience and holding on to the gospel, the Word of God, that does not get you into the eternal heaven. But there is a salvation that comes from hearing and believing the gospel that we have today. And specifically, Paul says, I'm telling you, listen, come back to verses 1, 2, and 3. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you what? What are the next two words there? I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are also saved. Are you saved by the gospel, according to what Paul says here? By the which ye are also saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, do you have to keep in memory the gospel in order to be saved? However he's talking about being saved, do you have to keep the gospel in memory in order to be saved the way he's talking about? Yes, you do. And then he identifies the gospel he's specifically talking about that you have to keep in memory if you're going to be saved the way he's talking about. He says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now it is that gospel right there. I want you to listen to the limitations that He puts around it. It's the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that He rose again, that He died for our sins, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That specifically is the gospel Paul saying in this chapter. He says, you need to remember this gospel. You need to remember that Christ died for your sins. How does remembering that save you? Think about this just a moment now. Paul unequivocally says here that if you remember this gospel, if you'll keep this gospel, the gospel that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried and He rose again, if you'll keep that truth in your heart and in your mind, it will save you. Now, what will it save you from? Well, let's take the first part of that gospel. What's the first part? What's the first expression of the three parts of the gospel Paul is specifically talking about here? What is the first part of that? That Christ what? That Christ died what? For our sins. Now, how does that save you? To remember the gospel that Christ died for your sins. Brethren, there are some times that Satan comes and causes me to doubt that I'm a child of God. Sometimes Satan comes and makes me feel like I'm not a child of God because I think sometimes, how could a child of God think and feel and do some of the things that I do? And then I remember Christ died for my sins. Not only the sins I commit right then or am committing, but even the sin of unbelief, when I sometimes doubt that Christ died, listen, brethren, Christ died for my sins. Even the sin of unbelief. And that's taught repeatedly in the Word of God. Christ died for our sins. Do you need to remember that? Will it save you if you'll keep in memory that Christ died for your sins? And do you need to remember that He was buried? You need to remember that Jesus was buried. Sister Jane, does this give you some peace today? to know that Christ died for your sins, but to know that Jesus was buried and that He what? And that He rose again the third day. This. Listen, why does that give somebody whose mother was buried this past week, why does that give Sister Jane peace? It gives her peace because if she'll keep that in memory, if she'll remember that Christ died for our sins and He was buried and He rose again the third day, it'll give you great peace in your life when you have to bury those that you love and you're standing at that graveside. You need to keep in memory the resurrection of the body. You need to remember that Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He what? And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ Jesus did die for our sins. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. Now come down to verse 14. Well, verse 13 says this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13 says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Everything I'm trying to do as far as preaching, it's useless if Christ did not rise, if His body was not raised from the dead. You know why? Because if Christ is not raised from the dead, then my preaching is a lie. And not only is my preaching a lie, this book is a lie. Therefore, everything we're doing, it all is based on a lie if Christ be not raised from the dead. But Christ is raised from the dead. And therefore, my preaching is not in vain, and the Word of God is not in vain. The Word of God is here to encourage God's people. It's to teach God's people what God has done for them. And it's to help us face the problems and troubles of life. Listen, brethren, because He lives, one of the songs that we sang this morning is, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. I have no fear of eternal hell. I have no fear of death. I can say like the Apostle Paul, 'O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?' The sting of death was sin, but who took it upon Him? Who took that sting of death? Who took the stinger out of that bee?" You know, isn't it a bumblebee that just has... Is it a bumblebee that can only sting one time? Honeybee? Whatever kind of bee. There's some kind of a bee. Can a wasp sting more than one time? I'm not sure, but you can go home and look it up on the internet. I meant to do that, and I forgot about it. But the Word of God says the sting of death is sin. And Paul said, "O death, where is your sting?" And brethren, it's like that. I'm going to say it's the honeybee. Somebody said it's the honeybee. If the honeybee can only sting one time, if he only has one stinger, I want you to know that Jesus Christ took that stinger out of the devil. The sting of death is gone. I have no fear of death. There is no sting there for me. Why? Because I believe what Jesus did. And if you'll keep in memory what Christ has done, that He died for your sins, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, it'll take away the sting of death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Does the grave have a victory over God's people? When my body is laying in that grave, has the devil won a battle? Absolutely not. I don't believe that even one of God's children can ever die without God permitting that to happen. Do you understand that? I don't believe the devil and all of his angels can cause you to die before your heavenly Father says, "It's all right, come on home." And so my Father is in control of everything. It's not the devil that's in control. The devil is limited. The devil is restrained by God. But God is in control. And when my body lies in that grave, I want you to know and remember, I want you to believe with all of your heart that just as Jesus died and rose again, I'm going to die and rise again also. And you're going to die and rise again also. And therefore, does it save you to know those truths? It saves me. Yes, sir, it saves me. And it saves me when I stand at the graveside of those that I love. My daddy and my son are buried at Flint River Primitive Baptist Church out from Thomaston. And brethren, I don't ever go there. I know a lot of people get a lot of comfort of going to the graveside. My sister goes up there regularly to sit by my daddy's grave. and to sit by my son's grave. I don't get any blessing out of going and sitting to that grave, by that grave. I don't feel any allegiance to my daddy to go sit by that grave. My daddy is not in that grave. My daddy is home with the Lord. Now, his body is in that grave. But listen, brethren, what I concentrate on and what I think about is my daddy is home with God. And I need to remember that. And I need to remember that even as his soul is home with God right now, the spirit returned to God already. I need to also believe and I know beyond any shadow of a doubt my son and my daddy and everybody else that's a child of God, one day Jesus is coming back to this earth and all the dead in Christ shall rise. And I'm talking about their body is going to be raised from the dead. And that gives me great peace. I look forward to that day. What a day of rejoicing that will be. What a glorious day that will be when Jesus comes back to this earth. Ooh, what a day when all the dead... There's a graveyard behind this church. If I live until Jesus, if I'm still alive when Jesus comes back, I hope maybe we're all just standing out there. Maybe it won't happen that way, but I'd love to just be standing out there and watch those graves open up, wouldn't you? Watch those graves open up, because the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain, then we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord forever. I'm glad to tell you this morning that I know that God's Word is true. Listen, brethren, if the Bible were to say that Jonah swallowed a whale, I wouldn't have any problem believing that. Not just that a whale swallowed Jonah. It doesn't matter what the Bible says, brethren. God's Word is true. It's true. And I thank God. Aren't you glad you've got faith to be able to believe God's Word? The Bible says all men have not faith. There are some people that don't have faith. You cannot believe the Word of God without first having faith. God comes to you when you were dead in trespasses and sins, and God quickens you and implants His Spirit in your body. And His Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit, is faith. And your faith in God is because God came to you, not because you held on to God, not because you reached out to God. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and God came to you and put His Spirit in you. Isn't that wonderful? The amazing love of God and grace of God and power of God. Now, when I'm talking about somebody being born again, I'm talking about the power of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? To be raised from spiritual death. Now, I'm talking about something different now than natural death. I'm talking about somebody that's dead because of the sin of Adam. The Bible says, as in Adam, all died. All the people of God on this earth, they died when Adam sinned. And because of the sin of Adam, you and I, though we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead, not sick. Now, a lot of people say that you're sick and God wants to reach His hand out to you. And if you'll reach your hand out to God, if you'll get hold of God's hand, you can be born again. If you'll just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can get born again. I'm telling you, brethren, you don't do anything to get born again. Did you do anything to get born the first time? How many of you did something to get born the first time? Anybody here? I didn't. I don't even remember the day I was born. That was an important day, but I don't remember that day. And you don't remember the day you were born. First thing I remember is I was about 3 years old and I fell on my tricycle and busted my teeth out. But listen, brethren, I was alive for at least three years and 9 months before I really remember anything that happened. And then I don't remember anything until kindergarten. That was the next major event, is having to go to school and leave my mama. And then I was probably in about the third grade. The next major event I remember is went to the principal's office and got a whipping. I remember that. But listen, I didn't just start living when I was 3 years old. That's the first major event I remember. I didn't start living when I was 5 years old and went to kindergarten. I didn't start living when I was in the third grade. Listen, I'd been alive a long time before I ever even can tell you today. I can't look back and tell you when I was born. But did you know that when I was even conceived in my mother's womb, God was right there. God was there. God gave me my natural life. And then at some point between my conception and the time that I was about, I know I was born again before I was about 8 years old, because I remember some major spiritual things happening in my life when I was eight. At some time between the time of conception and the time I was 8 years old, Jesus came to me. I want you to listen carefully. He came to me and He quickened me. And I was dead. I was just as dead as anybody in this graveyard back here. I wasn't dead physically, but I was dead spiritually. And Jesus came to me. And the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead spoke life into my body. Spiritual life entered my body when God came and said, "Be alive." That's when you were born again. That's when you became alive spiritually. You know how much power it took to cause you to be alive spiritually? It took the same kind of power, the same power, listen carefully, it took the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to come to you and raise you from a condition of being dead in trespasses and sins. You know how many people I've ever caused to be born again? Brother Neil, aren't you glad that I saved your soul from hell?
No, you didn't.
Oh, I didn't. Well, that's right, brother. He pays attention. I've never saved anybody from eternal hell. Who did that work? Jesus Christ. God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God did that work, not me. You know how many people I've ever caused to be born again? Zilch. I don't have any more power to cause you to be born again than I did to cause you to be born the first time. I have zero power to do that. God alone has that power. God the Father raised God the Son from the dead. I want you to back up just a moment to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I want you to read about this. Look in the Word of God at Matthew 27. Jesus right now in Matthew 27. The Word of God sometimes will take, several years and kind of summarize it. And right here, God is going to, in His Word, He's going to take about a 3 or 4 day period, and He's going to summarize it in about 2 or 3 verses. And I want you to watch this. Look at it carefully. Matthew chapter 27, Matthew 27, beginning in verse 50. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 50. The Word of God says, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. When did that happen? Somebody, a child. I want a child to tell me, when did that happen? When did Jesus cry with a loud voice and yield up the ghost? Where was He when He did that? Where was Jesus? Where was Jesus when He cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost? Say it again. On the cross. On the cross. Now watch carefully. He cried with a loud voice and He gave up the ghost. Verse 51 says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many," what's the next word there? "And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves." Now, if I were to stop right there, when would you think that happened? Okay. Sister Caitlin, when would you think that happened? I'm sorry, I didn't hear. 3 days later? Okay, it was 3 days later. Did you know it was impossible for anybody to be really raised from the dead? Now, there's a difference in restoration of life and the resurrection of the body. But these bodies that were asleep in the grave that arose, they came up out of the grave after the resurrection of Christ. See, in verse 50, He says that Jesus was on the cross, right? And He cried with a loud voice. And then it talks about the veil being rent in twain. And then it says, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection." Do you know why It had to be after His resurrection, because the Word of God had repeatedly said in the Old and the New Testament that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brethren, that He would be the first one raised from the grave. He was predestinated to be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus came out of the grave, and then what happened? Many that were dead in the grave, many, the Word of God says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Was there a resurrection? Was there a bodily resurrection that took place after the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ? Yes, there was. Yes, there was. Do you believe that one day Jesus is going to come back and there's going to be a final bodily resurrection of all the people of God? I believe that there is. There are many scriptures that teach that. I want to close by asking you, if you will, to turn to 1 Thessalonians. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Listen, please, beginning in verse 13. I want you to remember now that in 1 Corinthians 15 it says that you can be saved if you keep in memory those things that were spoken back there, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Here's something you will be saved from if you'll keep in memory that gospel from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13, the Word of God says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Are sometimes God's people ignorant? He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now, this word asleep is talking about not somebody. Where were most of you at 5 o'clock this morning? How many of you were asleep at 5 o'clock this morning? Most everybody was asleep at 5 o'clock. Sir? You was up at 5 o'clock, getting ready to come to church, weren't you? That brother loves to come to church. Now listen, sometimes the Word of God uses the word sleep, just like we normally think of sleep, and sometimes the Word of God uses asleep, meaning dead. You remember when Lazarus had died, and the Bible says that Lazarus had died, and Jesus said, "He sleepeth, he sleepeth." Well, if he's asleep, he's doing well, isn't he? You know where your mama is, Sister Jane? She's asleep. She's asleep in Jesus. Now you follow this. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," is this part of that gospel he was talking about in 1 Corinthians 15? "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I praise God today that He's given me faith and that He's given me His Word that tells me about the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that Jesus rose. I'm glad His body was raised from the dead. And I'm glad that the Word of God teaches me that God has redeemed me, body, soul, and spirit. Did you know your body wasn't just your spirit? Your body was redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because He bought your body and soul and spirit, one day He's going to come back. And He's going to take that body, soul, and spirit to be with the Lord forever in that eternal heaven. May God help us to remember that and to rejoice in it and thank the Lord for sending His only begotten Son into the earth, and thank Jesus for being willing to die on the cross of Calvary and be raised again on the third day is my prayer for Christ's sake.